Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Most of us have had our fill during the just-concluded primary season, but they have already started anew for the general election. What makes political commercials successful or not? We're joined now by St. Louis University political scientist Ken Warren. He is also a political pollster and has served as a political consultant. He joins us by phone. Ken, nice to talk to you again.
Good to be with you, Don.
Ken, how important a role do political ads play in campaigns?
Well, according to so many studies, and there's an abundance of research on the effectiveness or non-effectiveness of campaign ads. And the conclusion really is that they work to a point, but not very well at all. And there's so many examples of candidates spending a bundle of money on ads and just losing by a bundle. Meg Whitman in 2010, for instance, outspent Jerry Brown by an enormous margin, spent $144 million of her own money on ads and plus another $20 million from donors, and she lost by 13 points while Brown spent hardly anything. Jeb Bush in 2016, as you know, in the primaries, outspent his opponents by another bundle of money. And the Washington Post has an ad I took, and here's a quote from the Washington Post. Team Bush spent $6.4 million on ads for every point he has lost in the polls, end quote. So what studies show is that all things being equal, it's better to have more money than your opponent to spend on ads, but that the ads aren't going to make much difference.
I think Catherine Hanaway is an example of that in our just-concluded primer. She came in last, and she had a lot of money to spend. On the other hand, the man who won the race, Eric Greitens, had a lot of money, and he spent it on ads, and he won. So they helped him, I guess.
Well, yes, and see, that's because ads are related, Don, to circumstances. And no one knew who Eric Greitens was. I mean, after all, he's really a newcomer. He hasn't held elective office. And so what his ads bought was name recognition. That is very, very important in races like that. People knew the other candidates beforehand, but they did not know Eric Greitens. Eric Greitens had so much money to spend that he was able to buy name recognition and, of course, a win in the election.
What makes an effective ad?
Well, what studies show is, believe it or not, the negative ads. Briefly, there are four kinds of ads. There are puff pieces that candidates use at the beginning that just introduce themselves. Bill Clinton was famous for his, coming from Hope, Arkansas. That was a big puff ad, just introducing the candidate and their family. Then they get into introducing their stance on issues. And then as the campaigns develops, they get into negative ads normally. And negative ads are more effective than the other kinds of ads, studies have shown. And the most effective ads are what are called false negative ads. I mean, they're what are called true negative ads and false negative ads. False negative ads, of course, really dirty ads. And remember, there's no truth in advertising. The Federal Election Commission, for example, does not regulate ads. So you can lie about your opponent and say all sorts of things. And these negative ads work okay, according to some studies. But then there's another study that I was looking at last night where the authors concluded that their studies of negative ads show that you shouldn't use these negative ads at all because they don't work.
Well, let's take a moment and listen to an abridged version of probably the most famous and the granddaddy of all negative ads and what probably started this whole genre within political advertisements, and that's the 1964 Daisy ad put out by the Lyndon Johnson people in the campaign against Barry Goldwater, the little girl pulling petals from a daisy.
These are the stakes. To make a world in which all of God's children can live, or to go into the dark. We must either love each other, or we must die.
That, of course, the voice of Lyndon Johnson in the famous Daisy ad. And what you heard, that explosion, of course, was the atomic bomb, which was the countdown prior to that, which was designed to do exactly what it did, Ken, scare the heck out of people.
Well, yes, and of course, the people who made up the ads, they show this on, you know, in Lyndon Johnson old documentaries, they did not want to run it. And they didn't run it but one time. And the conclusion in the room was, well, we don't have to run it because the media will run it and people will see the ad. And, of course, they were right, and they didn't even have to pay for it. It did scare the hell out of people. It was considered to be one of the most unethical ads ever run because it really was a terrible, scary ad that was pretty unrealistic. They were trying to paint Goldwater as, you know, a person who is totally irrational and essentially would, you know, blow up your kids, I guess.
Well, nasty ads were off and running after that one. And we got, again, in the just concluded Missouri primary here, particularly the Republican primary, a full dose of nasty ads.
Well, nasty ads are becoming more common. Studies have shown that, too, because, again, you know, it's, you don't know whether they work or not. I suppose the consultants and so forth, and they make money off ads, recommend to candidates that they run all these ads. But academic studies show that, you know, first of all, Don, you don't know what works. You don't know what works or does not work. And these articles or these studies point that out. I mean, how can you tell what works? Years ago, this student of mine did a study on the Swift Boats ads. He was convinced that they, you know, that the Swift Boat ads caused John Kerry to lose. But, you know, all the studies on that show that you couldn't tell. And some studies show that, in fact, it backfired on the Bush people when they ran them. So, you know, how can you tell what works and what does not work? What you have to show is causality. And it's not very easy to show causality when there are all these other factors that are coming into play at the very same time that you're running these ads.
Are so many people therefore running them because they're afraid not to?
That's correct. In fact, the studies actually say that they're afraid not to run them because they feel that, look, it gives them recognition. It keeps them, you know, their names in the public view, and that they tend, and studies show that they tend to work a little bit. But let me show, one study said this, and this is from the American Psychological Association. For running 1,000 ads more than your opponent, that you, the candidate gets a 0.5% advantage. Think about that, running 1,000 ads and paying for them. Now, how cost-effective are paying for all of these ads when, according to this study, and they studied many races, that running 1,000 ads more than your opponent got you a 0.5% advantage. Well, look at the election results. Who wins by 0.5? Now, of course, they say in a very, very, very close race, the 0.5 percentage points is going to make a difference and allow you to win. But, you know, if you look at just the primary results the other day, you know, hardly any candidate, well, no candidate I saw won by, you know, a margin of less than 1%.
Another thing that we should point out, it's been my observation, and chances are that it's wrong, but that most people get their political information from political commercials.
Well, no, you're not wrong, and that's the sad part of what many textbooks on this subject say, that they're aired all the time. And people don't listen to the news, as you know. They don't, you know, they should, but it's unfortunate that Americans do not follow politics very much, and they don't get the information from the sources they really should about campaigns and candidates. They get them from these 30-second commercials. And, of course, these 30-second commercials are just filled with all sorts of lies and distortions. And, of course, fact checkers, you know, show that this is true. But the people who benefit from the fact checkers are people who already follow politics and are the most likely to be informed and the most likely to have already made up their minds on the candidates. And that's what, Don, I have not emphasized. The reason ads don't work very well is that going into the final week of the election, 93% of the people on average have already made up their minds on who they're going to vote for.
93%.
Yeah, well, on average, it's about 7% are undecided going into the final week.
You know, Ken, but, I think one of the big questions we have in the 2 minutes we have remaining is, how is this likely to change? I mean, our digital access to information is so different now than it has been, obviously. Is this going to change, you think, these kinds of strategies?
Well, no question. You know, micro-targeting, the use of focus groups and surveys and so forth make the message, you know, better because they're able to target the message better. You know, in other words, it would be much different in a primary than it would be in a general election. And so all that information they're collecting presumably will be used to make better ads and, you know, better targeted ads.
And they'll be reaching people differently as well. I mean, I'm guessing that the television ad per se will become less effective than things that can be distributed online through telephones and iPads and that sort of thing.
That's correct. But by the way, studies still show that most of the people get their information from television, both news-wise and through these 30-second commercials.
Well, that's not what we in radio like to hear, Ken, and you know that.
Well, unfortunately, Don, you know, they rank order these things as to where people get their information. And radio does come in. It's not that bad off. I mean, compared to print media, I mean, very few people read print media. You know, people who are informed, I'm sure, listen to NPR do, but the average voter does not read anything about a political campaign. And I'm not just saying that. That's been well documented. About 15 to 17% say that they read a single article on a presidential campaign during the height of the presidential campaign.
We have less than 1 minute left. I'd like to talk about this for a long time with you, but do you see in the horizon on the national level more negative ads or fewer?
More negative ads because, again, compared to the other ads, they work better according to studies. Not very well, and again, according to some studies, they feel that you should never run a negative ad because they can backfire, so they can be counter-effective.
Right. In one sentence, have you ever seen anything like one going on nationally?
No. The negative reactions to both of the candidates, I mean, they're both of them are quite disliked. Trump is, to me, is just out of control. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Got to leave it there, Ken, because our time is up. Ken Warren, political scientist, thanks for being with us. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.